Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys and gals, so much. All right. Thank you. You know, I love testimonies, and be able to listen over the last couple of weeks of testimonies of other people. We were able to hear a single testimony that took 2 or 3 minutes last week and the week before, and then now you just got to see 20 testimonies in about 4 minutes. But I love what God can do with changed lives. I have the privilege to help lead our Celebrate Recovery ministry. And these are just some of our CR family that have experienced change and victory. And I'm not holding this question mark up for you to guess what my problem is. I'm trying to guess what yours is. Because you know what? All of us, our goal at CR is to provide a safe place for people that are dealing with hurts, habits, or hang-ups, and provide a pathway of peace and hope for them. How many of you here have ever been hurt? How many of you in here have a habit, a hang-up? I think all of us do, and if you didn't admit it, then you definitely have one, you know? I don't know what yours is. And you don't know what mine is. But you know what? I know what's on the other side. And that's change and victory. And you know, you can have that for each and every one of your lives. It's not just something that takes place in CR, you know. Because change is a God thing. And being able to be here on staff, we get to facilitate that process. But it's really all about God and what He's doing in each and every one of the lives that we see changed. And we just get the privilege to just stand in awe of what God is doing. And you know, we've been in this series, Encounters, right here. And you know, any of these faces can be your face. And Pastor Jeff has been kind of leading us through encounters. And, you know, what is an encounter? I love a kind of a definition. It's where it's a beautiful collision where at just the right time, a person is met with the Word of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. And if we respond appropriately, we have change. And our lives are never the same again. That's an encounter. Call it a divine appointment. I'm reading a book right now that you can pick up in Karis. And I saw the title and I'm thinking, what kind? Aha. You know, that's an odd title. But it really talks about the same thing. About an encounter, about a divine appointment, about that aha moment in your life. And it's kind of cool that aha, there's an acrostic for that, the AHA. And it talks about the first A is an awakening. There's always that wake-up call when you have an encounter with the Lord. There's that wake-up call that happens. You know, a lot of times we don't like wake-up calls, you know, especially kind of a rude awakening. Sometimes we'll hit the snooze button because we don't want to get up. But you know what? God wants to wake us up. And an aha moment, an encounter, and a divine appointment is always going to begin with an awakening. And then that H in aha is honesty. Where after we get that wake-up call, we have to take a look at ourselves and look inside of us. Look in the mirror. Look at what God's revealing to us. And honestly come to grips with His truth and what He's placed upon your heart. And then the A of aha, that last A, is action. What steps are you going to take in obedience, in faith, to be able to realize this change in your life? And so that's what this series is all about. You know, Pastor Jeff was able to share 2 weeks ago about the woman at the well. Last week about Nicodemus and each of them having that encounter with Christ that changed them, not for just a lifetime, but for all eternity. They had that change. They had that encounter. And each and every one of us has that as a believer, we've had that encounter at one time in our lives, that aha moment where the Spirit of God, Word of God awoke us. We honestly looked and realized we needed a Savior, that we had fallen short of God's glory, and we took action by accepting Christ as our Savior. And each of us had that encounter, that divine collision of the Word of God and us at just the right time. And we responded and God responded and our lives were changed. But you know what? That's not the end of our encounters. You know, if that was all that was meant to happen, then as soon as we accepted the Lord, He could take us home. But no, He's left us here on purpose for a purpose. And to live in a close relationship with Him and to continue growing. And that's our mission here at Indian Rocks, is to make disciples, to get you from where you are to where God wants you to be. And it's all about different encounters you're going to experience with the Lord that's going to draw you closer and closer. Just think of the life of Peter for a moment. There was that first initial encounter where he met the Lord and his life was changed forever. But that wasn't the end of it. Just think about every miracle that he was either a part of or got to see Jesus perform. I guarantee you, changed him and drew him closer. And God revealed himself to Peter, and Jesus revealed himself to Peter in a new and mighty way. Every miracle. Just think of walking on the water, sinking in the water. That was an encounter that changed him. To deny Christ. To see an empty tomb. To be in that upper room when Christ returned. To be on the seashore where Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Being able to preach that first sermon filled with the Holy Spirit to thousands of people who were from different language groups, and everybody understood in their own language, and 3,000 people were saved. I mean, encounter after encounter after encounter. And I know personally, I can remember, you know, as a child at Greenbrier Baptist Church in Arlington, Virginia, as an 8 or 9 year old boy, accepting Christ as my Savior. But then I remember vividly, I mean, these things are etched in my mind. I can remember the rooms that I was in, the setting. You know, I can remember being in Emmanuel Baptist Church as a 19 year old young adult. And realizing that, you know what, there's more to it than just being saved. I need to let Christ come in and be the Lord, the director. I want to follow Him. And then there was another time that I can look back on. At the old church, we call it the old church, where, you know, Starbucks and Five Guys is now. But I can remember being in the choir room in the back of that sanctuary, leading a small group and realizing for the first time, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And I can remember it to this day, that encounter. And then leaving here, moving up to Inverness, Florida, and being up there with my wife and kids and building kind of our dream home out in the country. But I can remember driving on State Road 50 just outside of Brooksville, listening to a Phil Driscoll song of all things, and realizing and sensing God's call in my life. It wasn't a voice, but it was that still small voice within my spirit that God was just calling me into ministry, out of the corporate world. And following and taking the steps to come on staff at First Baptist Church of Inverness up there. Then I can remember, as clear as day, sitting on the couch there and going through some struggles and realizing and having an encounter where God's going to just take care of myself and my family as we were struggling through some things. I can remember it. And then that encounter, I could just go on, but I can remember one day at my dining room table. And we lived in a home that we loved, but we knew that God was moving us. And I had the for sale sign out. Yeah, I don't know why I'm getting old, you know. And I had the for sale sign out, and I just started writing on the for sale sign. And I got a call from the former pastor of this church, Pastor Charlie, and asked if I would be interested in
coming on staff here. You know, just at that right time, that confirmation, encounter after encounter. And you know, that's it with each and every one of us. God wants to do fresh new things in our life. And that's what's so beautiful about this series and about these encounters. But sometimes we're just stuck. And this morning, I better quit with the intro and get to what I'm talking about, you know? My encounter this morning, the person that I'm going to look at is the paralytic. And you know that story if you grew up in church. It's about that man that was carried to Jesus by four friends. I mean, I can still remember growing up in church, the flannel graph boards and the things that would stick to it. And, some of these young people went, what's a flannel graph board? You know, we didn't have PowerPoint back then. But that was the way we communicated the story. And I can remember to this day that story of Jesus being in a home teaching, surrounded by Pharisees, people from all over, standing room only inside. People were all around the house trying to just be an earshot. And these people were bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And of course, we know the story. They had to go up on the rooftop, you know, tear apart the roof and lower that person to Jesus, and Jesus healed that person. It's a simple story to remember, but I want us to focus on it this morning and look at the message between the lines of the story. Because you know what? Paralysis is a terrible thing. And there's I know that there's about 5.5 million people that experience some type of paralysis in their life and are wheelchair bound or need a walker or something. And there's about another 10,000 people per year that are added to that number just because of spinal cord injuries or some other accident that happens. And so we know about physical paralysis, but what I want to talk about this morning is something that I think that is almost as devastating or just as devastating, but not as visible. And it's that emotional or spiritual paralysis. Let's just call it being stuck. And what do I mean by that? It's when we're so overwhelmed by an emotion or a feeling that we can't act or decide. We can't get off center. We just seem to be stuck and we can't change. You may be saying, my life is out of control and I can't change it. My marriage is never going to get better. I just can't break this habit or stronghold in my life. And I'll never get past this pain or this hurt. And we have all these things that have paralyzed us either emotionally or spiritually, and you feel helpless and hopeless because you've tried and tried again to change, but you continually fail, and you never realize the potential that Christ has for your life. You never get to sense that abundant life, that victorious life, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, there's three emotions in particular that paralyze your potential and keep you from experiencing the change that God wants you to experience, or really even being able to experience that encounter that God wants to just bring to your life. And these emotions can be kind of lumped into three different things: about your fears about the future, possibly, your regrets about the past, or your doubts about your abilities. And Jesus can solve these problems. And as we look at this story this morning, you're going to see that fresh encounters can be a continual part of your life. But you have to get your life in a position to be able to experience the change that God wants you to experience. So let's go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 2 starting there. Now, this is such a significant miracle, a significant story, that it's also in Mark and Luke. And they do a better job of setting the scene, but have kind of already done that for you, talking about, my flannel graph remembrance of this story. But of a crowded home, the Jews were there, the Pharisees were there, hundreds if not thousands of people were gathered around this house. And here come four men bringing a man on a pallet
that was paralyzed, and they wanted Jesus to heal their friend. And Jesus says three things to him. And he says that to you and I if we'll honestly come and say, Jesus, I want you to change me. And these three things will help you break free from what possibly has emotionally paralyzed you emotionally or spiritually. And you may be thinking it's useless, that you've tried and tried and you just can't get off center, that you're unable to change. And right now, just take a moment. You probably already identified it. But there's probably something in your life that you wish wasn't there. There's probably some hurt, some habit, some, you know, stronghold possibly, that you just you want victory over, but you've just not been able to experience victory. Well, let's see what Jesus says to this man who comes. Because he's saying the same thing to us. So chapter 9, verse 2 says, "And behold, some people brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son.'" Let's just stop right there. Jesus says, "Take heart." What he's really saying here is, you know, be of good cheer. Take courage. Don't be afraid. You know, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, listen, you cut in line. You need to take a number, get at the back of the line." He understood how this man felt. Can you imagine how he felt being lowered from a hole in the ceiling that they just destroyed to be dropped down in front of all these people? And Jesus says, "Take courage. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid." My question to you this morning, do you think Jesus cares about how you feel? Absolutely. He knows what you feel. He knows your fears, your insecurities. He cares about your discouragement, your loneliness, your worry, your anxiety about the future. Why is he concerned with these fears? Because fear is one of the most emotionally paralyzing of all emotions. Fear. And it comes in a lot of different ways. It can be worry. Worry is just the soft side of fear. But fear is a universal problem. Every one of us has some private insecurities, maybe some phobias or paralyzing fears. What are you worried about today? Your health, your finances, your children, your parents, your past, your future, your job. Jesus knows your fears and wants to ease your fears and bring peace to your life. And if you suppress these fears, it always leads to discouragement, to depression. Depression is almost always paralyzed fear or frozen fear. But God cares for you. I don't know what you're facing today, this week, but God knows and He cares for you. So what should you do with these fears, with these worries, with these anxieties? I love what 1 Peter says to us in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all of your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Visualize that if you would. Casting all your cares, all your worries, all your concerns, all of your fears on Jesus because He cares for you. And He loves you with a perfect love. And that verse in 1 John 4:8 says, "Perfect love casts out all fears." And Jesus is saying for you today, before we can get on this self-improvement plan, before you can begin to realize any change in your life, you're going to have to give me your fears. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 34:4. He says, "I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears." Why is he worried about your anxieties, your fears? Because it keeps you from being close to God. Sometimes you're afraid of giving up control. You're afraid of what may happen if you really change. What if I fail? What if I lose my fun? What if I lose my friends? What if I lose my freedom? What if, what if, what if? What ifs are just fears. And Jesus says, "I want to ease those fears." We have to take care of those fears before we can move on. And you have to begin here. Wouldn't it be so freeing to be relieved of all of your fears? And this is the first thing he wants to address before you can experience any kind of change in your life.
You don't have to be afraid or worried anymore. The first thing he desires to do is to ease your fears. And I've known some people that have lived with a fear or a worry or anxiety or a dysfunction so long that they're afraid of the unknown to be able to live without it. This has been such a part of my life for so long, I don't know how to live without this fill in the blank. And so they're afraid of the unknown, of what freedom could really be like. And so fear is such a debilitating thing. And so Jesus wants to ease your fears. That's the first thing that he wants to do. But then let's get back to our text. What does he tell them next? He says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. That's the second thing I want us to look at. Do you think this man came looking for his sins to be forgiven? That wasn't on his radar. But that's where Jesus went next. Because he wanted to make sure that he eliminated this man's guilt. He didn't come for forgiveness. He came for healing. And just like most of us, this man was more concerned about the external, the visible problems in his life. We're always more concerned about the things that are around us rather than the things that are within us. And Jesus always looks beneath the surface. I can remember that verse in the Old Testament where God says to Samuel, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, last week, Nicodemus, he couldn't understand about this birth, but it was a spiritual birth, a new birth. The woman at the well, she was thirsty, wanted water, but Jesus wanted to give her spiritual water for her spiritual thirst. He's always concerned with our hearts. And many of you are here today and you can't get on with the future because you're paralyzed with the past. You're guilty or resentful for the things in your past. And Jesus deals with real issues. And he says, your sins are forgiven. You know, most of the world is dying to hear those three words. You are forgiven. That's got to be good news for some of you in here this morning. You are forgiven. I love 1 John 1:9. For if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's good news this morning for some of you that are carrying around a baggage of guilt, of regret. Why? Because all of us have blown it. All of us have messed up. But Jesus wants to deal with that. And there's no way that you can experience real change if you're carrying around this baggage of guilt and regret. It's paralyzing. It robs you of joy, energy, strength. It destroys relationships. It drives people to escape through drug and alcohol abuse. And it is a killer of relationships. You don't know how many relationships are destroyed because of guilt or guilt manipulation. Guilt is just a terrible thing. Which brings you to this question. Should a follower of Christ ever feel guilty? Should a follower of Christ ever feel guilty? Yeah, for about 10 seconds. Because that's all it takes to do business with the Lord. That conviction of the Holy Spirit, that guilt that comes when we know that we've done something wrong, then we can come to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. And He does it. So we should only feel guilty for about 10 seconds. If you have guilt beyond that time, after asking for forgiveness, I'll tell you now, that's not from the Lord. That's from Satan. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't want you to feel worthy. He doesn't want you to feel capable. He's going to want to push that replay button and let you see and hear and think about those things of your past. But that's not what God does. Here's the truth. We've all blown it. We've all sinned. We're all imperfect. We need to know how Jesus forgives. I want to tell you three things real quickly how Jesus forgives. First of all, He forgives you instantly. He forgives you instantly when you ask for forgiveness. And that's not the way that we forgive people. You know, you hurt me, you do something, you ask for forgiveness, I may not be so quick. You know, I may want you to hurt a little bit. I may want you to grovel a little bit. You know, I may not want to. I don't feel like forgiving you so quickly. But Jesus does. Why? Because He's already taken care of it. He's already died on the cross for your sin. He's already paid the price for your sin. He doesn't even have to think about it. You come to Him and He forgives you instantly. And then also, the second thing, Jesus forgives you completely. You may not have the time to turn to it because I'm kind of going pretty quick, but in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, such a great passage talking about how Jesus forgives us completely. And this is what it says. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside," or better translation would be, "He destroyed it, nailing it to the cross." I love those words in there that talk about our sin when we ask for forgiveness and how God forgives us. He forgives us all of our sins. He's canceled that debt. He's destroyed it, set it aside, nailing it to the cross. He forgives you completely. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more." You know, Jesus has already taken care of your sin problem completely. What sins has He forgiven and died for? All of them. All of them. And if you feel guilty over a sin, again, it's not from the Lord. It's from Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. But you have been completely forgiven. So Jesus forgives you instantly. He forgives you completely. And then Jesus forgives you freely. He forgives you freely. You can't earn it or be good enough to receive forgiveness. It's a gift. Romans 3:23-24 tells us this: "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift." Underline that if you've got there in your Bible. But, you know, Romans 3:24, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's forgiveness is a gift. That's what grace is all about. You don't have to live with your guilt. Jesus forgives you. And this is something you must understand about His forgiveness. Jesus forgives you instantly, completely, and freely from your sins, past, present, and those that we're still going to commit. And that's a wonderful thing. He does not minimize your guilt. He eliminates your guilt. If you come to the Lord and are serious about doing business with Him, if you say to Him, "I don't want to remain the same anymore. I want to be a different person. I want to change." Then first, He's going to ease your fears of the future. And He's also going to eliminate your guilt and take care of your past. And then once that is done, then real change can take place. Because then we're going to see what happens. Let's continue with our text. And there's so many different teachings in here. Again, I'm just going to focus on the story in the story. But this is what goes on to say. So it says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 3, "And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said," you know, it wasn't great to be back in that time and have a conversation with the Lord. You know, He knows what you're thinking. He was setting them up, really, okay? "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," He said to the paralytic, Pick up your bed and go home." And He arose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men." And so, again, what we see here is Jesus wants to ease fears. He wants to eliminate your guilt. But He also wants to, my last point, is to enable you to do something that seems impossible. This is what He said to this man: "Rise, take up your bed and go home." Jesus asked this man to do the very thing that he's been able to do his entire life.
Jesus asked him to do the impossible. Why? Because he wanted to stretch his faith. Faith is not something you believe. Faith is something you do. Faith is not something you think about. Faith is something you act upon. Faith is not a conviction. Faith is an activity. Faith is obeying God and doing what He says to do, even if it seems impossible. So the question is this morning, what has God asked you to do that seems to be impossible? What have you tried to do in and of your own strength, but failed over and over and over again, and it just seems to be a broken record? What is it in your life that you just can't manage and get off faith, get off center? Maybe God is testing your faith this morning. He's watching and asking, are you going to believe me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to place your faith in me? You know, there's so many areas in your life that you want to change. And some of these areas you have power over. But again, you've already determined it's too hard or impossible or it could never happen. You may be saying, I've tried and tried before and I've failed. I can't break this habit. I'll never recover from that failure. I'll never be able to start over again. I can never forgive that person. There's no way that I can tithe on the income that I'm making. I can't change. I can't do it. You're right, because you're emotionally paralyzed. And that's why we need the Lord. I love what it says in Matthew. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What seems impossible from your viewpoint, that could be the very area that God would like to show off in your life. And if that is something, and if that's something God is leading you to do, I suggest you don't put it off another day. See, God sees in you what you can't see in yourself. And God will do through you what you can never do yourself. And when God asks you to do something which seems impossible, He gives you the power to do it. I've already, as I was talking about our indebtedness, I already used that verse in Ephesians 3:20, but I love it. Especially when we're talking and looking about ourselves and the change that we want to make. And I love what Ephesians 3:20 says, where it says, He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what you're able to ask or think according to the power that works within you. He's given you the power to do beyond what you're able to ask or think. The moment that man decided to trust and obey the Lord, Jesus told him what to do. Guess what? He was able to do it. God gave him the power. The Lord changed him. And this guy didn't begin with a crawl and then a toddle and then a limp. He got up and he walked. He walked. This morning, He wants you to walk. Do that thing that you've already determined is just too hard. I can't change. He wants to give you that encounter today, that aha moment. And I'm praying that God has spoken today and that maybe you're here at just the right time for that beautiful collision where you've understood God's Word and the power that He has for His children. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you of an area of your life that you need change, that you need another encounter with Him. Then you need to be aha, be honest, and look in the mirror and say, God, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I've tried. I honestly am coming to you. And then take some action. Do what He's telling you to do, even though it seems impossible. Take that first step of faith, and you'll be able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what you're able to ask or think according to the power that works within you. What change in your life seems impossible? Are you in a relationship right now that's just dying before your eyes? Are you consumed by some painful memory that you cannot forgive or forget? Are you stuck in a habit that you've tried many times to change and you can't? Is God leading you to take a step in faith and you're too afraid to do so? Jesus specializes in these kinds of situations. He is God. He's the God of the impossible. So many things can paralyze you and I: depression, envy, worry, shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, loneliness, self-sufficiency, pride. You feel stuck and you can't get out. Jesus can ease your fears. He can eliminate your guilt. And He can enable you to do the impossible. And knowing that is the easy part. I've communicated that to you, and I believe that that is spiritual truth. The question is, what are you going to do with that truth? That's the tough part. You can leave here changed, or you can leave here the same as you walked in. That's your decision. It's not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. It's about faith, and faith is an activity. It is what you do. It is what you have to act upon. Faith is obedience. So what do you need to do? It's what this man did. He turned to Jesus and said, "I can't handle it. I need you. I can't handle it myself." And you must believe that Jesus can and will help you change. And you must do whatever He tells you to do, even if it seems impossible. So you need to get up. You need to pick up your mat and leave this room and go home a changed person. Or not. And continue on another week, another month, another year, the remainder of your life the same. And that's not, God's not in that. God's a God of fresh new things. I love, again, I use it a lot, but I love Isaiah 43, maybe 17, 18, 19, where it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I'll make roadways in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." God is a God of new things, and He wants to do a new work in your life. But sometimes we're just paralyzed by our fears, by our past, by our what we consider our inadequacies. But He's the one that is going to take your fears, forgive your past, and enable you to do what seems to be impossible. You know, maybe you're here today and you're a seeker. You still are trying to figure this whole God thing out. And today could be that aha moment for you. Maybe today is that perfect time where God's Word and the Holy Spirit has collided with your life. Maybe today is that wake-up call for you. And now you're asking yourself that honest question, saying, "Lord, I need You. Lord, I want You. Lord, I need You to forgive me." And action needs to be taken. You know, it's to complete this encounter, you have to place your faith in Him. You must trust Him. You need to take that first step. And what does that first step look like? It's the first step that all of us took that have a relationship with the Lord. You know, acknowledging that we're broken people. And that we need the Lord. And that we need His forgiveness and power in our life. That honesty. Then that action step is one that we all took as believers. And if you're a seeker here this morning, it begins with a prayer, asking the Lord to come into your life. Scripture tells us that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I don't even know how to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't even know how to pray. Well, you know what? I'm just going to take this time right now to just lead you in a prayer. And by the way, this isn't the end of the service. Usually when you pray, people walk out. Okay? But just stay seated for a moment, because there's people here this morning that need to know the Lord, to establish a relationship with the Lord. And this is that aha moment for them. Be praying for them right now. They've heard God's Word. God's convicting their heart. They have that wake-up call. They're looking within themselves and taking an honest look at, "I can't do it anymore. I need help. I need God." How do I do that? By taking a step of faith that begins with a prayer.
If you bow your heads with me right now, it could be a prayer something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for making me and loving me. Even when I've ignored you and gone my own way, I realize I need you in my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please help me to understand it more. In the best way I know how, I want to follow you from now on. Please come into my life. Be the director, the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. With no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me, if you took that step this morning, would you just let me know by raising your hand? Yes, any others? Others this morning? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these that have just taken that step. And Lord, I just ask right now that you let them sense your presence in their life. Lord, it's not about a feeling. They may not feel any different, but it's about the truth of your word that says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I thank you this morning, Lord, on March the 23rd, 2014, that these people prayed to ask you to come into their lives. And you came in by the truth and the authority of your word, and now they're your kids forever and ever. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that this morning. Amen. Listen, I just want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I just encourage you to tell somebody, maybe that person that brought you. Just let someone know. I would ask you to mark this date down in your Bible, that you can remember that today was the day that you entered into that relationship and you're one of God's kids now. I think I have a couple of more minutes, so I want to talk to the rest of us here this morning. The rest of us, that maybe you're on the other side of this and that you're in the midst of a fresh encounter or you're at that place that you want to be. I don't want you to miss this point. I think it's so neat. It's kind of like a rabbit trail. It's kind of like that's a message for another time, but now's the time for that other message. So I'm going to give it to you real quick. And you may be on the other side. You may have made the adjustments. You're enjoying the changes He's continually bringing to your life. And I praise the Lord for that. But here's the question. Do you know someone that needs an encounter? Do you know someone that needs an encounter, that's struggling with change? Do you know someone that needs a miracle in their life? Don't miss this next point. And that's why I love this story. This is one of the things I love about this story that I didn't know if I'd have a chance to share, and it's only going to take me 2 minutes. Whose faith prompted Jesus to heal this man? If you were to look in each of the different texts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it all begins with this. Matthew 9:2 says, "And Jesus seeing their faith." Mark 2:5, "And Jesus seeing their faith." Luke 5:20, "And seeing their faith." Guess who he was talking about? The four friends. And Jesus seeing their faith initiated him doing a miracle in this person's life. And that's cool to realize that your faith can have an impact on another person's life. Your prayer of faith can have an impact on another person's life. Don't ever grow weary of praying for friends, for family members, for your neighbors. You know, as you live sent, you know, realize that your faith, I mean, that's what I love about the story of the centurion and his healing of his servant. He said, this guy came to Jesus and said, hey, can you heal my servant? Real quick story, paraphrase. And Jesus said, take me to him. And this man said, you don't even have to come with me. All you have to do is say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus, it says he was amazed at this man's faith. And based upon that man's faith, he healed the servant. Based upon Jesus seeing the faith of the four men, he did four men's? Four men, he did business with that man who was at his feet. Who do you need to bring to the feet of Jesus through your prayers, through your action? Man, tonight's a great night to bring someone that needs to know the Lord. You know, I don't want you to miss that picture. And that's our responsibility as believers to continue to walk in faith and to have a faith and intercede for people that need to know the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today as we close that I hope it's been an aha moment today. I can't create it. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But I pray that you have heard some truth today, that you're now taking an honest look at yourself and determining what is this action step that seems impossible for me that God will enable you to do in your life. He wants to show off in your life and work in and through you. Pastor Tim, I could ask you to come on up and kind of close this out today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pastor Dave. Mm-hmm. Pastor Dave will be back in the guest reception. We'd love for you guys who are guests with us today, stop by, say hi, and do that if you will. Hey, let's all stand. I want to tell you this, Pastor Rob is going to be down front here, and he's one of our pastors that would love to talk to you about relationship with Christ. Or it'd be great if you just stopped by and said, hey, I prayed that prayer today, and I just wanted to let you know. And Rob, that way he can pray for you also. And a couple things. One last thing, if you weren't in here, we start Main Street today. And I got donuts and popcorn, all kinds of good things I can bribe you with. But anyway, if you are thinking about getting plugged into a small group or in serving or whatever, it's right down the end of this connector. We'd love to have you there, and it runs for 3 weeks. And also, tonight, Brock Gill, 6 o'clock, if you're going to be counselors for us, whatever, you need to be here at 5:30, and just for some training there. And tonight, bring your friends. It's going to be a pretty awesome night with Brock Gill. In fact, if you're not sure who he is or have seen him before, as you leave today, it's going to be on the screens. Let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day that we've come together and had a chance to worship you with our hearts and our voices and with our finances, and just to open up our hearts to what you have for us today. And as this story unfolded of this encounter that Pastor David shared today, may we take that to heart. Lord, we love you and praise you. Look forward to Brock Gill tonight. Lord, just do amazing things there that can only be said or done of you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Take a look at the screen.